Welcome to the Self-Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson.
Hi, Jenna. How's your day going?
It's going well. How about you?
Pretty good. I'm in my time. It's the Gemini time of year. And so, of course, I'm feeling that solar return right now. And I'm really looking forward to this podcast on, I know I say this, I think every time, but my favorite subject, but this is really genuinely astrology is the veil of compassion from which I've learned to look through the world at myself, in my own reflection, in my own life. And so I am the most excited about this subject. And I know that you and I've worked together a lot on astrology, whether it be children's workshops, you know, working with parents and children or relationships or just in our retreats. And have you found, we're going to talk a little bit about the basics of astrology today, but have you found that you use astrology as a yogi in your own self-reflective life?
Absolutely. Yeah. It helps a ton with my own, you know, understanding of who I am, but then also who other people are. And, thinking about just even in the past when you have done retreats for, at the Yosemite one that we do and how everyone's eyes kind of really do light up. And I think that it's such a subject that we all are so curious about because we want to know more about who we are. And, I just remember a lot of the students coming away from the astrology talks and going, gosh, I learned so much from this weekend about not only themselves, but being able to kind of go back home to partners, kids, and kind of, I think, have a new sense of understanding for who they really are, right? Because sometimes we tend to want to conform people and it just doesn't serve anybody. So,
right. Yeah. Right. Like that song, and the artist is escaping me, but being molded like clay, it's a lyric in this song. And I find you're right. So many people want to mold their children or their partners like clay, but we have been gifted with some innate personality traits. And I always reference it as a blueprint, if you will, on how we could approach life. And, you know, usually a blueprint is how you build your house. And there are many components that affect the house. You can, but the blueprint is the one, it's the concrete, it's the foundation, it's there. And you can build a house of straw, of brick, of wood, and it can be weathered by the tropics or by, you know, storms and by snow, and then environmental conditions can come in like a tornado or a fire. And these are the people who raise you. This is the religion and the outside influences that you're exposed to. And then there are things that keep you from your potential as well. And that's, if we think though of astrology as the blueprint from which you can have all of these things, this is often the reason why when we find people who don't really understand themselves in their sun sign or the horoscope that you can go kind of, you know, I call it Hollywood horoscope, where you find out, oh, I'm a Gemini. And then you look up the Hollywood horoscope and you don't relate in any one iota. It could either be, you know, how the outward influences, the parents, the religion, the outside influences, but your blueprint was still there. And sometimes you find people who are not living in harmony with themselves are very different than their chart. And the more in alignment with their chart that they build life or understand themselves through, the more harmony that I see people have, including their health and everything. So we're going to review a little bit of the blueprint of each of the signs. And then future podcasts, we're going to hold a podcast each month that will address the current sign of the time. Because like right now we're in Gemini, we won't be getting into Gemini. We'll be moving on to Cancer next, but you know, there are physical attributes, there are health conditions that someone is predisposed to. And medical doctors were trained in astrology for a long time just to better understand what propensities might we be facing. So there is a lot to astrology. And so as we go through it, always know that you can email us with questions, theselfstudyproject@gmail.com. And you can go to theselfstudyproject.com for more resources. And I'll make sure to post some of the information that we will be going through, like the visuals, as far as during what time. In fact, I encourage everyone to look and determine what is your sun sign by looking up the dates. And I will accompany that in the comments of the post on our website. So yeah, let's start. We'll start with the air signs. Shall we start with the air signs, Jenna? Just because we are in an air sign right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Um,
Let's
so there are elements to one's astrology, and that is the air, water, fire, and earth. And all of the signs will fall under one of these, or each of the signs has their own. There's also masculine and feminine energies to the signs. So the earth signs and the water signs are feminine, and the fire signs and the air signs are masculine. And this doesn't, everyone has a balance of each. And I think that Jenna can best speak to the balance of that, that we really want to, men and women want to have a balance of the masculine and the feminine, but the signs do have that as well. There's also components like the houses. The chart is 360 degrees, and there are 12 different houses that make up that circle. And houses all have a different influence. So, the home of the fourth and the relationships of the seventh. And then there's also all of the components in the sky. So, Mars, Jupiter, the moon, the constellation that was rising at the time of your birth, that's called your rising sign. And so, all of those, Jupiter, Saturn, there were constellations in them, and they all play an influence. Even comets and things that were passing through have an influence. So when we talk at this level of the basics of astrology, know that it'll come full circle, right, Jenna? Because it can be kind of overwhelming, I think, at first to talk on subjects. So just come with us, and every month listen to your next to that sign and learn more about it, and we will give you this as a tool for self-compassion and reflection. Do you have anything on that before I move on to the air signs?
No, that's just fascinating, and I'm excited to continue
Mm-hmm.
on
Okay.
this talk with you. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So the air signs include Gemini, which is what we're currently in, Libra, and Aquarius. And when dealing with an air sign, you'll see a very similar pattern, because it's the element that they all move through, and they are all masculine signs. So they are mental dwellers. They can sometimes be seemingly aloof or remote. And that's they're in their headspace. Sometimes they appear as though they are on their own island, and they might not need other people, even though they do. They're analyzers more than they are feelers, and they're communicators, or at least expressive people. That doesn't always mean verbal communication. It with a Gemini, it always means verbal communication, but a Libra might communicate and express themselves through art or music, but they are communicating. And an Aquarius through invention and entrepreneurial communication with the greater mass of people. They're curious beyond belief. They are like monkeys or cats. They're very, very inquisitive, very, very curious, and they do suffer a bit from the monkey mind, moving from idea to idea, which is why it can appear aloof or remote. So all of the signs in the element of air will indicate flow and movement like the wind. They are thinkers who aren't as comfortable with their emotions as they are in their minds. Just like air that moves through the trees, they can work their way around most obstacles, either like a gentle spring breeze or with an incredible force like a hurricane. So until they learn their way, they will often present themselves in both until they understand the effects of their actions. So the sun, and this is all based on the sun's location in a constellation at the time of your birth, would determine what sign you are. And it, again, I'll give website links to some of my favorite free websites that you can do your chart so that you can be learning more about yourself as we move through these. But does that describe any air signs that you know, Jenna?
Absolutely. Yeah, my oldest daughter, she is an air sign, and throughout the years, just kind of learning from you, I definitely have had greater understanding for her. So, yeah, that describes her perfectly.
And again, the sun sign. So yeah, you with your Libra as well, and now you're Aquarius. What are you? Aquarius rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you do have some air sign understanding. The sun sign is your hard drive. It's like the operating system of your computer. And you often see children more exhibiting their sun sign than you often see adults. We do tend to grow away from our sun sign. It was where the sun was at the time of our birth, and we continue on, and it returns every year. We feel a little bit more like that. We behave a little more like that. We're connected a little more. But usually with children, you will see more of their sun sign, which is another reason why a lot of adults read their sign. And they might connect with something, but they're like, I'm not like that anymore. Or, well, I've learned to be different. It's not just the sun sign, however. The three most telltaling sign or components that one must pay attention to is their sun's location, the rising sign or the ascendant, the one coming up in the sky at the time of birth, and then their moon location. And we're going to talk about all of these components throughout time. But so if you listen to this and you're like, eh, I know my emotions, I'm not just in my head. Well, then your moon, your internal nature, your hidden home life behavior, just like we've always heard that phrase, howling at the moon, where the wild people come out.
Right.
That's your true nature coming out, not the wild people. That's something within you that you often don't share. It only comes out when the pull of the moon is strong. It brings out your hidden side. It brings out your emotional side, your nature side. The rising sign is often the way people view you or see you as. So if your rising sign, people might more assume, for example, that you are an Aquarius more than you are a Sagittarius, aside from the physical attributes that are recognizable as a Sagittarius. And myself, I am a Cancer rising, and I am definitely seen as a Cancer by many. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk into water signs next, which include Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And all of those are a feminine energy. And when dealing with water signs, you kind of want to consider that they are emotion-based people. They usually have a very keen intuition, believe in fantasy, things that can't really be, whether it be fairies or unicorns or just things like animals in the clouds. When we play that game, and you're laying down looking at the clouds, they're going to be good at that game. They appear shy at first, even secretive, and they might even appear as they brood through things. They have excellent imaginations. They're not always chatty, verbally, or maybe not even able to say exactly how they feel, even though they feel quite deeply. They feel more than anybody else feels. They're extremely affected by other people's moods. They're often caretakers and nurturers. Why? And this is a first step on understanding how your sign can help you understand self-compassion, self-reflection, is because the more you understand emotion, the better you can care for other people's needs. And therefore, they are caretakers and nurturers as a result. And they can also be easily wounded because they are dealing with the things that not everybody wants to talk about, but they often handle it really, really well. So they indicate this undercurrent of emotion, much like the river, especially an underground river. They can, like the Gemini and the Libra and the Aquarius, were moving like air through the trees. They're like wind through the trees, either like a breeze or a hurricane. This underground river can move in between and behind the scenes like a subtle stream, or they'll drown you like a flood. So they can evaporate into a cloud, they can slow down and turn into ice, or they can boil over. And they can be seen as a refreshing glass of sun tea on a hot day or a completely dark and mysterious deep ocean water. They are a paradox with an ability to work their way into every crevasse of the human psyche, and they better understand the human condition than any other sign. And how, you know, when you, I think Jenna and I, we were just talking about whether or not we, is it empathy? You know, are we, there's a definitely more empathy going on in the world, more awareness that what you feel is important and might not be entirely yours. But I think that the more I learn about the fact that one's strengths can become one's weaknesses, and one's weaknesses can become strengths depending on where you apply that personal trait. So, like, emotions and one's ability to understand others can be such a tool in your career as a mediator or a counselor or a school teacher or something. But it's also such a weakness at times because it can really bring you down. You can fight depression, and to understand that you have these gifts, even though they come with another side, and it's not always like to be aloof. You know, as a Gemini, they're often described, I am a Gemini, they often describe them as aloof or superficial, and emotionally uncool. And you know, all of that can sound like a negative thing, and yet it can really help in what I do for a living when I can't really go down into the depths of sometimes the dark ways that people feel when they talk to me about their health or their life. So it's a strength and a weakness if I can't relate to people emotionally, you know, which I can because I'm very emotional moon and rising sign. But does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, and it helps to see where what kind of lens, I know you've used that word, that one is seeing life through, kind of, you know,
Yes.
and to also have compassion, because I remember your title of your workshop is The Veil of Compassion, and it's powerful work to just see that lens in which they're seeing from. And yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
And have you ever watched a, you know, Scorpio or a Pisces or a Cancer battle with how much they feel without being able to communicate it into words?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have a lot of Scorpios actually in my life. And I definitely see that. Yeah. And their ability to kind of be in depth, but not always be able to put maybe the words around that in depth feelings that they have. Yeah.
And I one could consider when we're trying to use this as a veil of compassion for one's self or others, is if you were asked to describe the deep blue ocean, the depths of it, the creatures that lie within it, the how it moves, the color of it, to someone who is blind, you know, it how could you possibly express the shape of a globe and how much of it is blue, and what is blue, and what is the, how they change colors, and how light will move through water, and the depths and the darks, that is what a water sign is. And they, if you can't bring to words the ocean to someone who's blind, imagine how hard it is to be a Pisces, a Cancer, or a Scorpio, to feel the breadth of the ocean and not be able to convey it. And you know, it can get, it could become depressive, and a lot of those signs can turn that way. Before I move more into each of the signs, though, I'll go ahead and move on to the fire sign, unless you have anything on that, more on that one.
No, that's perfect.
Okay, so the fire signs include Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, and these are all masculine energy signs. And when dealing with the fire sign, you can consider them as spontaneous, outgoing, sometimes leaders, but not necessarily because they enjoy leading people as much as it is that their confidence in or their self-focus and determination is something people are drawn to, and therefore they will end up having followers, which therefore makes them a leader, not necessarily because they want to lead. So they're passionate or aggressive, depending on their balance of other components in their sign and how well they handle it, because passion and aggression, anger and lust, and love and desire all come from a rather similar place, and so they have much passion or an ability to assert in that same way. They're dramatic or known for flair or known for in extremes. So, like for example, Sagittarius play hard, work hard. So that is, in a sense, a dramatization of their determination, what they will do for both. Sometimes they're perceived as self-centered, or at least acutely aware, and that not Sagittarius specifically, but the fire signs. They are also very inspired people and enthusiastic people. So they, all of the fire signs indicate ignition and action, much like a flame with kindling. They are people who act and aren't always known for talking about it prior. They can warm nearby onlookers like a cozy fireplace on a winter's day, or they can burn you to bits like a fire to a Christmas tree. They have commonly led people into battle, especially Aries, and they are willing to go forth into unknown territory similar to battles. They trudge their own path. Hence the reason people often follow. Someone's got to take that step and they're doing it. They might also display bursts of enthusiasm when inspired, and they become frustrated by mundane routines like chores and the upkeep of everyday life. They rely on their gut instincts, and they aren't always keen on the emotional side effects of acting without necessarily considering others in their actions. Because that is definitely something that can happen when you assert yourself so quickly without really having thought through it. And I know, you're definitely play hard, work hard as a Sagittarius. I have lots of Leos in my life, and my father, my brother, half of most of his family. And my brother is one of those good examples of people will follow him because he takes action, he starts it, he gets it done. But he's not a person who wants to have to be a leader, even though everyone's going to follow. And so he often ends up in that position at work because he's like, well, no point on standing around, let's get this done. And look at what a strength and a weakness both of that can be. What if if you have to follow other people, then it can sometimes be a weakness that you are more that way, especially if you're not allowed to lead. Or the perception that they have an ego, or the of all fire signs, when there is a great gift in being self-aware. And so to learn to look at these components of, like Aries, like for example, Aries people are very always seen as very selfish people. And if they don't have another part of their chart or in their life or people to help them see others, they really do only see themselves. So what powerful people they can be. How great to have an Aries as a leader into war if it was necessary. Clearly, we don't need to talk politics, but let's think of history. They are gonna get on their horse and head right in because they're like, I can do this. There's much bigger things to consider, clearly. And so when that time comes, you might have a little bit of an issue with an Aries because they've first thought about themselves. So these are strengths and weaknesses always. Do you have any Aries, Leos, or you are a Sagittarius though, but
Yeah.
your life.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to kind of see myself in the air, in the fire sign, and how that I felt called to do a lot of things in leadership, but yet did never felt that I wanted to be a leader, but kind of just it happened. And so but I think there's so much life, lessons and growth that happened because of that. And but yeah, it's great to understand. And when you talk about this quite in depth and in detail and further, on further podcasts, I'm sure, because there's just so much to know. But that when we start to really understand ourselves, then we can also see where there might be weaknesses and how we can spot those things and gain understanding and knowledge from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'll wrap it up with the earth signs, which include the Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. And this is all feminine energy as well. And so they are known for their solid foundation. They are salt of the earth type people, dependable and stubborn. Let's look at that just briefly, because again, we will go into further detail on further podcasts. But how can you be dependable if you aren't stubborn? Therefore, people look at stubborn as a negative trait, but it will be the catalyst that ignites dependability. Because you're standing there, you're like the bull on a hill. You know, it's like you are waiting, you are going to stay here because I'm stubborn enough to be dependable. Someone more on the surface, fickle, self-serving, will be like, yeah, waited long enough, moving on, not so dependable. So the strengths and the weakness can really be seen in this sign, especially because if you want someone who's dependable, you need to understand that they're going to come with a stubborn streak. So stop fighting this stubborn streak because you love their dependability. They are practical and conservative. They're fairly materialistic because it's tangible. It's something right in front of them. They can relate and grasp and build and hold on to. They have their feet on the ground and their eyes on the prize. They also come with a great sense of duty. They indicate sturdiness and steadfastness, just like a mountain. They don't always take risks while they hold out for the real thing, the real deal. They are people who you can always rely on when you need to call upon a friend. They build and create, and that sometimes means that they like to keep up with the Joneses, kind of as a result. They are sensual people, and as they enjoy making their way through their environment using all of their senses, their touch, their smell, their feel of cotton, the fabric of our lives. It's a commercial.
There you go.
Not always known for the emotional consideration of others, but usually due to keeping their focus on the destination and not so much about the journey. So that might be another weakness, and yet their strength is that determination to make it to the end. And so they don't notice the china falling off the shelves as the bull moves through to the door in the back. You know, all they know is they need the door in the back. And they're determined to make it through regardless of the obstacles. So, you know, I know that we've only gone through the overview, which, you know, and we've gone in a longer podcast than we normally go. So we're going to go through each of the signs in future ones. Please email us questions and I will bring it up during that time of the year. And we will just continue on. You know, I Jenna and I've worked a lot together, you know, since for over 10 years now. And she is Sagittarius, I'm a Gemini. We are opposites on the spectrum of an astrology chart. On the 360 degrees, we cross over. We are completely opposite. And if you've seen us, we're also very opposite in our physical appearance. You know, I'm tall, I have straight hair. Jenna's shorter and has curly hair, and she has the physical attributes of a Sagittarius. I have the physical attributes of a Cancer rising or a Gemini as well. So, and then I'm prone to these health concerns that I definitely face. And so we're going to go through all of that and hopefully help you use it as a tool to just like I mentioned with that earth sign, you can't be frustrated at the stubborn behavior when it's also going to ignite the very thing you love about somebody. Can you think of something else, Jenna?
Well, I'm just thinking if a Sagittarius and a Gemini can get along, anyone can do it. No, but we've had
That's
so much joy. And I love that you said that because I had no idea that the opposites, how opposite, but yet how much we just see each other in the best way and that what maybe one doesn't have, another does. And so we kind of balance really nicely. And that's what we hope to inspire all of you that are listening is just to, yeah, understand more about yourself and others, and that creates such a harmony and a greater connection with humanity. So it's a good start with astrology. I love it.
And what you just said too, you know, about the differences, I don't think we've ever had conflict with the differences. Like you mentioned, it's been a yin and yang. You cannot know man without woman. You cannot know hot without cold. There is a balance, and you can either be in conflict to that difference, or you can see it as what completes your picture. And you and I complete everything we do. When we come together, we are okay, you're gonna do this part of it because I'm gonna clearly do this part of it, and then we're going to have done everything.
Right. It's
And
all feels very complete, like the salad of mixture of many different things that come together, the pieces of all the puzzles, and looking at it is like adoration, you know? It's really, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Self Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection, with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson. Subjects cover holistic health, nutrition, yoga, philosophy, spirituality, astrology, parenting, relationships, conscious living, sustainable practices, and so much more. At no time does this podcast offer medical advice and is for educational purposes only. It remains your decision to pursue any information and do not hold your hosts or their guests liable. More information available at theselfstudyproject.com.